last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, you know Matthew Sadlier very much from his appearances on the programme on behalf of the Irish Medical Organisation. His day job is as a consultant psychiatrist in the Mater Hospital in Dublin. He's Professor Matthew Sadlier. And recently he spoke at an event in Scotland called Smartphone Free Childhood. And he said some things which are really extraordinary about the dangers that he believes are being done, the damage that has been done to children because of their use of smartphones. Indeed, one of the things he said which jumps out in the headline is that certain influencers are as damaging to young girls as the self-identified misogynist Andrew Tate is to boys. Professor Matthew Sadlier, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Could you elaborate a little bit on that one, please, on the beauty influencers and the damage you think they may be doing to young girls?
Well, I think the difficulty that we're facing is this increase in eating disorders, an increase in idealized body problems that we're having seen among young girls. As I say, I was at this conference in the United Kingdom, and if you look at data from the NHS, there's some data which says that 75% of young girls at some point are now experiencing disordered eating at some point in their lifetime, which is just shocking numbers. And there's no reason for us to think that our numbers would be any different on this side of the Irish Sea. I think the problem with the influencers is that while we have laws now looking at regulating content on the internet, it's very easy to block explicitly pro-anorexia content or pro-self-harm content or some of the misogynistic or racist content that's out there. However, the beauty influencer type group are kind of the ones that slip through the net a little bit, although they still often promote, and obviously not everybody is the same, but often they do promote a thinspiration, a idealized body image. They drag the girls who watch that into inevitable comparisons, which are just a supernormal experience for most people. Like, most people's human psychology evolved at a point where we only really could compare ourselves with a small local community. We are designed for, you know, understanding what is our social reputation and what is our social comparison. The problem with the internet and with things like Instagram is that now girls are comparing themselves with unattainable beauty standards from, you know, international celebrities. But the way that these platforms present images, you know, a picture of yourself comes up right beside a picture of, you know, pick whoever you want to say is the comparison, which makes the feeling of inadequacy much stronger. And that is why we have got this epidemic of eating disorders. And you can see that the studies done by a group who did a study called the ABCD study, published by Nagata, who found that for every extra hour that girls spend on social media, the rate of eating disorders increase.
Weren't they always, though, looking at things like magazines and newspapers and movies and making comparisons? Or is it different now by what you just said here about the almost side-by-side photographs? Does that just move it on to a different level?
In the influencer side, it does, because the influencer is this fake intimacy. It's this fake concept that I am just like you. I am just in my bedroom filming cheaply on my smartphone, although quite often the influencers are backed with an incredibly high budget, high production values, will have beauticians, will have stylists, but they are all often hidden behind the camera compared to in the old days when you had magazines and, you know, there is a definite difference between you and me. But there is a very famous study called the Fiji study, which showed that in Fiji, prior to being exposed to Western media, there was really no evidence of eating disorders. And after the introduction of movies and magazines, eating disorders started to happen and body image issues started to happen. So, you know, magazines did cause this. There's absolutely no doubt about it, you know, and this is not a new problem. But the problem is the way social media is consumed, the way that it creates this fake intimacy, has just multiplied the effect that was there before.
And does it also then lead to parents being asked by these children to buy beauty products and things, if just leaving the eating disorders aside, but even just that they feel that they need to be made up in such a way and that all of their friends are doing it, and then they end up spending money on the type of products that arguably an adult might not even need, but a child most certainly doesn't.
100%, Matt, you have put your finger exactly on one of the other major problems. You know, dermatologists will see people, young people coming in now from the effects of buying retinol creams and creams that shouldn't be used on young skin, and are seeing it being used in girls the age of 8, 9, 7 who believe they have to have blemish-free skin, not in order to interact with their family or their friends or their school environment, but for the pictures that they take of themselves that they post onto social media in order to get more likes. You've seen things like Botox, fillers being used at young ages where, you know, we don't know what is the long-term impact of using them, you know, because they haven't been around for the 10, 20 years. So we don't know if you inject them into a 20-year-old skin, what will that 20-year-old skin be when they're 50? So that absolutely is another part of the issue that we're seeing at the moment.
You're a consultant psychiatrist, so are you dealing with teenagers and younger children about issues like this?
Well, in my own day-to-day job, I don't, because I actually work with older adults. But on my on-call experiences in the hospital, I deal with some of it. But with my work with the IMO, as you've referenced at the start, you know, I have regular contact with doctors around the country, specifically general practitioners who actually probably are seeing the brunt of this rather than psychiatrists. Because as you know, in Ireland, GPs are the foreground of all these problems. I did a survey of 100 Dublin GPs last year, which I'm hoping to publish soon. And they did say that they have massively seen an increase in people coming to them specifically for cosmetic procedures. They're seeing an increase in girls coming to them with eating disorder problems, and they're seeing an increase in parents coming to them complaining about children with what the parents are perceiving as a social media addiction.
And are the doctors and is the system able to cope?
Well, the system's hardly able to cope as it is, Matt. So, you know, certainly with in regards to eating disorders, you know, we are not set up in this country with, you know, we seriously lack specialist beds. At the moment, there is only 3 beds within the country, and that is ridiculous for a country of, what are we now, 5.5 million people. We do need a national dedicated inpatient eating disorder unit. We need dedicated specialist eating disorder teams that have access to inpatient beds in all parts of the country. And eating disorders, a final point, is a very complicated disorder because to treat it in its acute stage, it isn't just psychiatry that you require. You also require gastroenterology. You require a certain amount of medical physicians as well, because obviously, you know, the effects of not eating for a long time does have effects on your actual stomach and your intestines and how they work and process food. So this is an absolute necessity that we need, and it's a disgrace that we only have 3 beds in the country.
Just on a wider point, you compared these influencers to Andrew Tate, and we all know that Andrew Tate, you know, is the self-confessed misogynist, has been putting up highly sexualized material, which many boys get interested in. But is there also a sign that also girls are seeing, if not Andrew Tate material, other material which is perhaps giving them a skewed idea of what sexual behaviour is going to be like for them when they're older?
100%. And I'm aware, Matt, that we're before the threshold, so there might be little ears listening to the programme, so I won't go into too much graphic detail in this.
Please don't.
But there is. No, but there is. I mean, and there's an organisation, SERP, which has done great work on this and has shown that there is increasing pressure on young girls to behave in a way which would be, and I'm trying to use very polite language here, Matt, would be very unseemly if when discussed out loud. And it is a topic that really does need proper fleshing out, but I'm not sure if this time of day is the right time to go into some of those issues.
But something else that strikes me, Matthew, and again, you, as a consultant psychiatrist, you're probably, you know, well aware, and you can explain to us sort of compulsive behaviours that people develop and addictions. And there seems to be an awful lot of worry about younger people becoming addicted to their mobile phones. I suspect much the same could be said of many adults who rarely have a mobile phone out of their hands these days. But what do you think is it doing to the formation of young minds? And what could be the potential problems in the future?
Damage to young minds, and I think there's huge damage have been happening in the future, especially with the adoption of digital technologies into schools and an over-reliance on these things. The first bit is, if we just briefly go through, and I'll try to go this as quick as
take your time.
Like, from zero, so from birth to about 3 to 4 years, what we are seeing are presentations with difficulties in language development, children going to school who can't properly speak. There's the UK is better, in fairness, at accumulating this data than we are. And they have seen, I think it's a quarter of four-year-olds on starting primary school are not considered school ready.
Hang on, what's that got to do with mobile phones? Is that because their parents are giving them iPads or mobile phones to play with?
They are watching too much. Absolutely. They are spending too much time in front of digital screens. A child does not learn to talk watching a television. A child does not learn normal communication skills from a screen. Even the HSE's own advice to parents is that you should not be exposing a child under 2 to a screen. And even from 2 to 4, the recommendation is only about, I think it's a half an hour to an hour a day and not 2 hours to within bedtime. But we are seeing our children, I mean, a certain percentage of four-year-olds, I think it's 20% of four-year-olds have their own smartphone in this country at this moment in time, who are watching clip and video after each other, who are spending so long watching cartoons and digital information that that is having a significant impact in their speech and other social development. When you move from that age onwards, one of the difficulties is a concept called cognitive offloading, which is that if, as a human, if we have a digital device, our brains are essentially lazy. They will try to do activities at the lower level of energy. So the best way I can describe this to you is using a maps technology on your phone. Okay, Google Maps is the most commonly used, but I believe there are others available. If you get somebody and you go from point A to B on Google Maps across a city, and you take that map off them, they will find it difficult to get back to point A if they're unfamiliar. If you give them a paper map, they will find it easier to get path A. But if you give them no map and ask them to kind of work it out themselves and talk to strangers and look for advice and whatever, they are much more likely to do that. And that is because we don't internalize information that we learn digitally in the same way that we internalize information that we learn from another human or that we learn from print. This is leading to potentially cognitive damage going forward. And there is a group in Canada who are predicting a 4 to 6 time increase in Alzheimer's disease type symptoms in the future because we are not putting the core memory components into people in the education system as we would have done when you yourself, myself were young, Matt.
Geez, it's going to get worse when artificial intelligence is doing all the work in education.
Yes, is the short answer to that one. More than likely, yeah. And it's this. Now, I mean, that's not to say all screen time is bad. What I'm talking about is passive screen time. What I'm talking about, obviously, you know, active screen time where, you know, you might watch a film for half an hour and then you have a discussion about it. That is a different kettle of fish. Okay, and that is kind of participatory screen time. Something like the cinema where you're in a collective communal environment and where, you know, you can see the audience laugh at a joke or the audience cry at a scene and that, you know, centers your emotions in with everybody else's emotions.
That's such a really important point, Matthew, which you're making there, I think, is that at least there's a sense of community, whereas with the mobile phone, everything is done on an individual basis. In fact, I was sometimes, and my kids will probably complain for me saying this, but, you know, it's very rarely that we sit down now as a full family to watch something on television. Everyone is off watching their own individual shows on their own individual units.
Yeah, and that is not a healthy, you know, way because, as I say, that participatory screen watching is a learning experience. It is much more close to the sort of narrative storytelling that human beings have evolved with. And I was the same when I grew up. You know, the whole family would watch a show for the younger family members and then we'd all watch the news together for my parents, if you know what I mean. And yeah, we would discuss things and you would learn things and you would learn from other people's reactions, you know, your own personality. You'd be able to center your personality, you know, and what things you like and that. And you'd also understand if you went to a comedy, for example, and some people laughed at one bit and you didn't, and I know I'm oversimplifying a bit, but that also tells you, you know, maybe I have a different sense of humor to the rest of society, rather than if you're just watching your own screen all the time, your ability to empathize with other people, your ability to understand that other people think differently to you becomes much more difficult.
Well, one last thing, so Professor Matthew Zadlier, as a consultant psychiatrist, do you believe that we should not be allowing mobile phones, smartphones, to be in the possession of children up to what age?
Well, I mean, 100%, I think we shouldn't be allowing smartphones in the possession of children. I think the French have probably the best system, which is recommendations that no phone whatsoever up to age 9, smartphone from about age 13, but no social media access and no exposure to generative or recommender algorithms, and then full access to kind of social media from somewhere around 16. I think that is a very good graded way of introducing children to that online world, because the best way that children and people can integrate with the online world is when they've been allowed to develop as an offline human first, and then they can work with the online and technology as a tool to assist them in their life rather than something that they are going to be dependent on for their personality, for their enjoyment, for their cognition, and all these things.
Thank you very much, Professor Matthew Sadlier, consultant psychiatrist at Dublin's Mater Hospital.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.